and welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy, the podcast that digs into the paranormal and tries to find normalcy in the topic. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Eli.
And we're finished with Crowley. Yay! Before we get started, I want to start out by saying, Eli, congratulations. You are finished with your radiation.
Woo! And sadly, I didn't become out radioactive or have any kind of special superpowers.
Yeah, you might not find them out yet.
So, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Also, I want to say we went out and we partied a little bit last night to celebrate the end of your treatment.
We went ham.
We had a listener, Landon. Thank you. He pointed out that I was, in fact, correct when it came to the butterfly effect, that there was an alternate ending where in utero he strangles himself with the umbilical cord. So go back to our time travel episode. And
we just thought that was the darkness within your own brain.
Yep. You thought it wasn't even my darkness. Somebody else put it in my head. So, Landon, thank you for informing me that I was, in fact, correct.
Good job, man.
So this week, we're going to have a little lighter note. We're going to do some booyah. And tell some spooky stories. Who wants to start? Eli, it's your night.
This one's called the cell phone. A couple of months ago, my friend's cousin, a single mother, bought a new cell phone. After a long day of work, she came home, placed her phone on the counter, went to watch TV. Her son came to her and asked if he could play with her new phone. She told him not to call anyone or mess with text messages. And he agreed. At around 11:20, she was drowsy. So she decided to tuck her son in and go to bed. She walked to his room and saw that he wasn't there. She then ran over to the room to find him sleeping on her bed with the phone in his hand. Relieved, she picked her phone back up from his hand to inspect it. Browsing through it, she noticed only minor changes, such as a new background, banner, etc. But when she opened her saved pictures, she began deleting the pictures he had taken until only one new picture remained. When she saw it, she was in disbelief. It was her son sleeping on her bed, but the picture was taken by someone else above him, and it showed the left half of an elderly woman's face.
Oh!
Spooky.
But who was lady?
No one knows.
Who was phone?
It was a Samsung.
Chad, give us your spooky story.
I will give you the short one first. It's called Ouija Board Knocks Back.
I am the tiger.
I say it sounds like a Three Ninjas movie.
It does.
In high school, my friends and I were messing around with the Ouija board one night. We had done it before, and nothing remarkable ever happened. We usually did it to try and scare each other or our girlfriends. We thought it was a joke. That night, there was no one home except for the seven of us. We were all together around the board. One of the girls wanted to try it. She had never done it before. Giggity. This time was different. The board misspelled some of the words the same way every time. It gave answers that seemed really historically accurate for our town. Things neither of us knew or cared about. Long story short, the spirit claimed it was a 10-year-old boy who had died on the property in the 1800s and was buried there too in an unmarked grave. My friend's house is a farm on the edge of town. We were all a little freaked out because the board had never been so detailed. Inconsistent. However, we were still skeptical, and we were all assuming one of us was trying to scare the rest. Finally, my friend asked if the spirit could do something to prove he was there with us. It went to yes, and then spelled out knock, K-N-O-C-K. Then the planchette stopped moving. We were all just stared at it silently. And then there was a rap, rap, rap at the window right next to us. The lights were on outside, and absolutely no one was there. We never touched the effing board again.
I think even fucking this is a adult.
I was reading it how they wrote it, okay? So shut your effing mouth.
Okay.
All right, my first story is called The Following. My older sister has had a ghost that followed her around for years. I lived with her for 3 months, and so much weird stuff happened in that time. All my sister would say to me when I mentioned it was that her ghost didn't like me being there. Things like going to bed with everything locked up and switched off and waking up in the morning with the back door open, lights on, the kettle switched on. One night, my sister and I were getting ready to go out. I asked to borrow her liquid foundation. I used it and put it back where she kept her makeup. 10 minutes later, she asked me for it and it was nowhere to be seen. She accused me of taking it and made me buy her a new one and refused to listen to my side of the story. About a year or so later, when she was packing to move to a new house, she found the makeup in a shoebox with some old letters. The shoebox was zipped up in a suitcase underneath her bed. But probably the most scared I ever felt was one afternoon when I was the only one in the house, which never happened as 4 people lived there. I arrived home from work and headed straight to the bathroom. All the doors, windows, etc. were closed. I was standing in the bathroom and started squeezing a pimple on my chin when a female voice from the hall said, "Stop picking your zits." It was loud enough and sounded real enough at the time that I thought it was my sister. So I laughed and told her to fuck off and asked what she was doing for dinner. No answer. I stuck my head out in the hall. No one there. I searched the house top to bottom. There was no one home. I sat on the front porch. I sat on the front porch until someone else got home because I didn't want to be in there alone.
Also, hashtag poor whore.
That bitch.
You know what? If you want to pop your zits, pop your zits.
Exactly.
Fuck that ghost for giving her shit about it. Dave, what do you got?
Well, in usual fashion, I brought a poem.
Yay!
This is The Stolen Child by William Butler Yeats.
Yeats.
Where dips the rocky highland, a sleuthwood in the lake, there lies a leafy island where the flapping herons wake. The drowsy water rats, there we've hidden our fairy vats, full of berries and of reddest stolen cherries. Come away, O human child, to the waters in the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Where the wave of moonlight glosses the dim gray sands with light, far off by furthest Rosses, we fool it all the night, weaving olden dances, mingling hands and mingling glances, till the moon has taken flight. To and fro we leap and chase the frothy bubbles, while the world is full of troubles and anxious in its sleep. Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Where the wandering water gushes from the hills above Glencar, in pools among the rushes that scarce could bathe a star, we seek for stumbling trout, and whispering in their ears, give them unquiet dreams, leaning softly out from ferns that drop their tears over the young streams. Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Away with us he's going, the solemn-eyed. He'll hear no more the lowering of the calves on the warm hillside, or the kettle on the hob sing peace into his breast, or see the brown mice bob round and round the oatmeal chest. For he comes, the human child, to the water in the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than he can understand.
Yeats was so much better than Crawley.
Oh my God, yeah.
I like that one. That Dave read me like 3 or 4 poems. He's like, okay, which one's your favorite? And I was like, that one.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah, he does a lot of poems about the folklore of Ireland and stuff. He's a Really good poet.
Yeah, like I said, so much better than Crowley.
Really?
Huh.
Eopan, 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 Eopan.
My man.
Shit Jinx. Cake, num num.
With your steaming meat of...
Oh, please stop. I could barely take the Neopan. Now you're talking about...
Stevie Pyle's meat.
Yeah.
What's your next one, Eli?
The Crib Shadow. This one is titled The Crib Shadow. I was babysitting my niece once while I was staying at my brother's place, and they had a baby camera set up so I could see her on the little TV it came with. I was studying, starting to dozing off, when I heard some whispering and realized it was coming from the monitor. I initially thought it was some feedback or something, but when I looked at the TV, there was a dark shadow near my niece's crib. I have never been more terrified in my life, but the shadow was clearly there where it had not been before. I ran to my niece's room and looked around and saw nothing, but I took her the hell out of there. I went back to the TV, and the shadow was clearly gone. I told my brother what happened, and he pulled me aside and told me not to mention it to my sister-in-law because she'll freak out, but that he had seen the same thing several times now with the same whispering. They stayed in the house for about 4 years, and when my niece was just learning to talk, she would tell her mom about her special friend. To this day, it scares the shit out of me. When they moved out, my brother told me my niece had become inconsolable, sad because she would miss her friend, quote unquote. Her mom would tell her she could bring him along, but all she would say was that she couldn't leave the house. We have never, to this day, told her about that damn shadow. She apparently never saw it.
Creepy.
There's actually a reason I didn't get a video baby monitor, because it was like, I didn't want to see it. But we've definitely had times with our baby monitor where the you'll catch whispering or other weird sounds on it. And like one time, David, I was like, did you hear that? Dave's like, yeah.
And yeah, it'll be like, go the fuck to sleep.
No, it'll just be like, you'll just hear like the type sounds.
Go the fuck to sleep.
Move, bitch.
11 rules for idiots who bought a haunted house.
Nice.
Well, you really screwed up this time, didn't you? You found a gnarly deal on a beautiful home that almost seemed too good to be true, and you jumped at it. And now that you're all moved in, you've started to notice some anomalies. You know the type, the spooky dookie anomalies of the supernatural persuasion.
Dookie.
Bumps in the night, doors opening and closing by themselves, auditory hallucinations of voices and whispers.
Go the fuck to sleep.
It's more common than you may think, but not everyone realizes the danger. These signs could be proof that some forsaken souls inhabit your property. Maybe the previous grandmother self-immolated in the attic. Maybe dear old dad went suddenly insane and repainted the house with the bloods of his children. Or mom tried seducing demons in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Neopan.
If this sounds even vaguely familiar to you, and you are looking to the good old internet for help, then you've come to the right place.
Yippee!
You see, I have this friend. Well, had this friend named Nathan. A couple months back, Nathan found a house for sale in southern Georgia. It was nestled along a remote stretch of woods just outside of Waycross. It was a historical area, an old colonial-style home just under 5,000 square feet, 6 beds, 6 baths, with a white picket fence in 12 acres. The quintessential American dream house, by all accounts. The price was unbelievably low, but after Nathan contacted the real estate agent and he found that the price he had seen listed was indeed the price that was being asked for. For most people, I imagine, this would raise some pretty big red flags. But Nathan was an idiot. The confident type of idiot that believed machoism is substantial for conquering all life's battles. I know it's not kind to speak ill of the dead, like that. Spoiler alert. But I'm just trying to give an accurate portrayal of the kind of person Nathan was. You know, the alpha male who hits on your girlfriend, lives at the gym, and probably spanks his meat to his own selfies. For people like Nathan, friend is just another word for ego reinforcer.
He sounds like a Crowley.
He was cocky and often let pride get the better of him. His wife, Janelle, was actually my ex-girlfriend from a while back. Bit of a skank, but practically a supermodel. They had two kids, Natalie and Mason, who were both spoiled brats. Again, I'm just trying to give honest perspective of them in hopes that we may all learn something from what happened.
Hold a grudge much?
You see, what happened to Nathan, which I'll get into later, was something which I believe could have been easily avoided, only if you had followed a few simple instructions. After the funeral, I got to pondering on the matter and realized that all we really need is a set of rules to follow if you believe you live in a haunted house. Let's begin.
Yippee!
Rule number one. When looking to purchase or rent a house, always ask for the history. Odds are, if the house is being offered at a way below market value, then there is very good reason for it being that way. Nathan didn't do this, and thought the under market price was simply the universe handing him something he didn't really earn, as it often seemed to do. Nathan jumped at the offer, and within a few weeks, he and his family were approved and began moving in. I volunteered to help them move in, and I'll be honest, the house was absolutely gorgeous. Things were great for them at first, but Nathan soon started noticing some odd occurrences. It started with this knocking sound that seemed to reverberate all around the house at odd hours. He said he could never seem to pinpoint where it was coming from, and it never seemed to originate from the same place twice. He eventually just chalked it up to the house settling, and that was just the beginning. Rule number two, trust your gut. Your home is the last place you should feel uncomfortable. If you get the inkling of discomfort in the back of your mind that never seems to fully dissipate, pay attention to it. It's probably your subconscious trying to warn you.
What's that, Iwas?
Nathan tried ignoring these sounds, told his wife that it was just normal, or the wind, and comforted his children when they felt scared. He had two dogs, Rusty and Sailor, both of them black labs, and both seemed to become very anxious after moving in. Nathan did his best to get medication to help the dogs relax, but it didn't seem to help much.
Xanax, doggy, Xanax.
This brings us to rule number three. Along with your gut, you should always trust your pets. Animals have instincts far greater than humans. It has been said that a man is only the creature who will sense danger and still wander into it. Animals have a sense for the supernatural, dogs and cats in particular. If you find them growling at what appears to be nothing or constantly staring into specific areas of the house, then pay attention to that. Odds are they can see something you can't. Nathan told me that Rusty, the older of the two dogs, would pace the hall each night for hours. He said it was like he was standing guard over something. On more than one occasion, Rusty suddenly blurted into a ferocious bout of barking and snarling. Nathan would come out into the hall, but he never found anything. He grew concerned for Rusty and took him to the vet, but the vet confirmed he was in good health. Meanwhile, Sailor, the younger dog, slept at the side of Mason's bed each and every night. The poor boy soon developed crippling nightmares that would torment him relentlessly, and Sailor seemed to sense it. Each time Mason would wake up screaming, Sailor would be there to try and comfort him. And that segues perfectly into our next rule. Rule number four, beware the nightmares. Young children are similar to animals in the way that they seem more perceptive to things that adults are not. This one can be difficult because there are many root causes of nightmares, with things as anxiety, depression, and other mental illnesses. The telltale sign is whether your child suddenly develops them as soon as entering the home. Poor Mason had absolutely horrific dreams, and night after night he would be tormented by them. He often spoke of the blurry man that came to him while he slept and whispered terrible things.
Go the fuck to sleep.
He even said that sometimes he would see the blurry man while he was awake, but never more than a quick glimpse, and always in the shadows or outside in the woods. Nathan and his wife were worried that perhaps Mason was schizophrenic, but multiple doctors confirmed that this was not the case. They tried giving Mason sleeping pills, various supplements, and burned incense to help him sleep more peacefully. It worked for a while, until Natalie started having them too. Rule number 5. Try to determine the kind of spirit you're dealing with. If you see flashes of a small child running through the halls at night, or orbs spiraling in the air, then odds are your ethereal neighbor is rather benign. Some people even discover they rather enjoy life with a spectral roommate, and find their antics to be rather interesting. Most believe the spirits who pass away before completing what their soul desired will become stuck in a sort of purgatory. Many are scared, confused, and angry, but some, primarily young children, seem to be almost jubilant at times. Most of these are unnerving, but altogether harmless. But then there's the other spirits. Rule number 6. If you or any member of your family develop inexplicable bruises, cuts, or lesions, then do not take them lightly. This should be a massive red flag and is a very bad sign. If you feel as though you're being attacked as you sleep and wake up with unexplained scratches or wounds, just get the hell out of the house, honestly. A malevolent spirit capable of inflicting physical wounds is not something to be trifled with. Odds are it's a demon, and honestly, that's the best case scenario. There are other non-Abrahamic related entities that could be responsible as well. They are very rare, but if encountered, well, I'm afraid even my handy set of rules won't be enough to stop them. Natalie and Mason suffered multiple scratch marks, wounds, and even a few bruises that almost looked like bite marks. Nathan's wife, Janelle, was also subjected to these attacks. The children's teacher at school began to notice and became quite worried for their safety. Obviously, their first thought was not paranormal, but rather the children were being abused at home.
I fell down the stairs.
Only when social services threatened to remove the children from his custody did Nathan finally agree to move them out of the house. Janelle and the kids moved in with their mother a couple hours away. Nathan was left all alone with the dogs. Rule number 7. Let people know what is going on. Yes, I know the thought of admitting to a close friend that you believe your house is haunted may be a daunting one, but it's usually better than the alternatives. The modern would rarely take these claims seriously. We put ghosts in movies and video games, but when someone actually claims to see one, we aren't so quick to believe them. Technology and science have led us to believe that we are safe. This is our folly, but it's also a topic for a different day. This is yet another rule that Nathan did not abide by. The worse that things got for him and his family, the more secluded he became. On numerous occasions, he phoned the police saying that he believed someone had broken in, but they never found any evidence of it. Eventually, they even put him on a blacklist and warned him of any further contact would result in legal trouble. Rather than tell his parents or brother or any of his friends what was going on, he retreated into himself. He became fidgety, paranoid, at times refusing to return phone calls and texts from his loved ones. He just broke contact, and things only got worse. Rule 8 and 9 sort of belong in the same category, although one is a little more extreme than the other. Rule number 8. If you suspect something is up, it doesn't hurt to perform a cleansing. Like I said earlier, the modern world has a little time to entertain the notion of ghosts and the supernatural, but that shouldn't ward you off. If you are unsure about whether your home is being haunted or not, then a routine cleansing can do wonders for you. I'm willing to bet there are mediums and priests in your town that can help get the job done. Even if you can't find anyone local, you can always just go online and find instructions for you yourself. It's not as effective that way, but it's better than nothing. Rule number 9. If you're really feeling as though you're in danger, get someone to perform an exorcism. It's a step that no one wants to take, but desperate times call for desperate measures. Priests and spiritual leaders are your go-to for these kinds of things. Even if you, yourself, are not religious, these people honestly do know how to help. There's some evidence that Nathan was attempting to do this, but it's unknown why exactly it didn't work out. Maybe he second-guessed himself and thought he could handle it, or maybe his ego took control once again. Nathan had been collecting evidence for a while and had amassed quite a stash of clues. He had audio recordings of which relayed the banging on the walls, the footsteps in the attic. He took multiple videos, but none of them really showed anything except for the last one. But by that point, it was too late. In his journal, he also wrote that he experienced items in his house levitating on several occasions, but sadly, he had no recorded proof of this. Rule number 10, the big one. Whatever you do, don't try to antagonize a spirit. This should really go without saying, but angrily challenging the spirit or daring it to manifest is a really bad idea. But as you may have guessed, Nathan and his unlimited stream of testosterone decided to just do that. He got really drunk one night and began reminiscing on all that had been happening. Nathan was always a skeptic, but even he couldn't ignore the psychological impact on his family, whether it was imagined or not. He realized his relationship with his children and his wife were being heavily strained, and his new house had become the place of hostility. This made Nathan very angry. So Nathan stood up and shouted at in his empty house for the spirit to come forth and face him. He was only met with silence, and so he shouted again. Never once did the spirit answer his call. After a few more verbose challenges, he broke into a bout of laughter, probably believing himself to look ridiculous. Apparently, not everyone who was watching felt the same way. Nathan managed to stumble into bed not long after. He was out cold within a few minutes. Nathan had kept a security camera in his room in hopes of capturing proof, and that night, he found something. At around 2:13 a.m., Nathan is seen beginning to stir in his sleep in the security video. He grunts and speaks briefly, but the words are unintelligible. Suddenly, his eyes sprung wide open in the bed and began glancing around the room. Nathan appeared to be struggling, but his body didn't move. It is believed he was suffering from an episode of sleep paralysis, which left him temporarily paralyzed. His eyes continued to dart rapidly around the room. Then something happened that no one who saw the video could explain. The bedroom door slowly rolled open, but the darkness of the hallway was all-consuming. Nathan's chest began frantically pumping up and down, and his eyes stretched wide open. Something was seen moving in the hall. It could have been chalked up to a trick of the light at first, but then a hand was seen reaching through. It was gnarled and spindly, like the wretched malformed appendage of some abysmal denizen. The figure slowly sauntered through the doorway, its tall, dark silhouette nearly grazing the top of the door frame. Mm. It had no definite features, appearing only as a hooded humanoid individual. No eyes, no face, just a shadow, made corporeal from Nathan's deepest nightmares.
Don't fear the reaper.
Poor Nathan was heard mumbling and whimpering frantically, but in his paralyzed state, he was unable to fight back or flee. He could not do anything but watch in absolute horror as the thing approached him. It stopped at the foot of his bed and just stared at him for about a minute. Nathan continued to hyperventilate and didn't appear to blink once during the entire ordeal. The thing then finally moved closer. It then leaned down only a couple inches away from his face and appeared to whisper something.
Go it was fuck to sleep.
It was too quiet for the mic on the camera to pick up. But needless to say, it did not make Nathan feel any better about his situation. Suddenly, a thing lashed out with its twisted hands, constricting like pythons around Nathan's throat. In his paralyzed state, he couldn't even struggle against his shrouded attacker. Within a minute, Nathan's chest stopped moving, and his eyes fell still. The entity retracted his hands and just stared at him for a minute. Then, as if taunting those who would see the footage, it looked directly into the camera. It whispered something again. But again, it was too quiet to discern what it was.
Don't fear the reaper.
Fucking pizza.
Then as quickly as it appeared, it waltzed out of the room and vanished back into the darkness. Nathan was found by his wife, Janelle, a few days later, and she called the police. After an autopsy, Nathan determined he had died via strangulation. Much of what was shown in the video, cops scoured the premises and found footprints from the intruder. However, the footprints soon matched a pair of Nathan's own boots. The police, of course, were not so quick to believe that Nathan was simply killed by a supernatural force. They conducted interviews with neighbors, friends, family members, but none of them seemed capable or motivated enough to have done it. There were no signs of breaking and entering, and nothing had been stolen from the home. They came to me and conducted an interview as well, but of course, that was a futile effort. I mean, sure, the fact that Janelle was my ex-girlfriend was reason enough to suspect me, but I quickly dissuaded their accusations. Nathan was my friend, despite him not really being a good friend. What kind of friend boned your girlfriend behind your back anyway? I'm not bitter about it, though. At least, not as far as the police are concerned. My alibis were solid, and that's good enough for them. This brings me to my final rule. Rule number 11. Make sure you exhaust all other options before coming to the conclusion that your house is in fact haunted. If Nathan had only taken a little more time to investigate his home, and himself more thoroughly, maybe he would still be alive today. Maybe he would have found the mini wireless speakers hidden in the attic to play the sounds of knocking. Maybe he would find the patches in the air ducts that leaked mild doses of hallucinogenic drugs into his home. Maybe he would have detected the dog whistle alarm that caused the dogs to react so strangely. If he had bothered to check himself, he may have found trace amounts of succinylmethionine, a paralyzing toxin that once ingested, leave the person immobile, yet conscious to all the pain. It would have been difficult to find even coroners do not normally test for this substance unless specifically requested. No matter how you really slice it, this entire ordeal really comes back to Nathan himself. If he'd only been a better person and not consistently demeaning his peers at every turn, if only he had not been so stubborn and proud, if only he hadn't gone behind my back and boned my ex-girlfriend, thus ruining our future and sending me into a spiral depths of crippling depression, then maybe I would have helped him. So you may be wondering, is this my confession? No, of course not. This is my list of suggestions and rules for how things may have turned out differently for Nathan and his family. These are all hypothetical explanations. And are in no way to be considered incriminating evidence to be used in court against me or anyone else for that matter. Besides, if this really was a confession, then that would make anyone who read it an accessory to murder. And we certainly wouldn't want that, would we? I hope you can understand that, and I do hope that we can trust each other in this regard after all. I have really good software for tracing IPs, and the modern web makes it incredibly easy to access them. We wouldn't want your house to suddenly become haunted now, would we?
I love that story.
That was really good.
What's funny is from the very beginning, I was like, oh, it's the fucking narrator. He killed him.
Oh, yeah, I did the same thing when I read it. But the craziest thing is like the first 10, well, actually all the rules. All the rules are actually real things that he should probably check and... if you have issues with really deal solid. With. Like, I just, the way he wrote that was really good.
Rule number 12, don't break the bro code. His friend exactly. should have known this. He sounds like bro number one.
Yeah.
You know? He got what he got.
Well, no. See, I was sitting there listening to it thinking, no, when I look for a new house, I want a fucking haunted house. Like, that's like number one criteria for me is I want there to be like active freaking ghosts in the house.
I'm just proud of myself. I read that fairly well.
You did.
Now, when you were talking about protagonizing, for some reason, I got Scrappy Doo in my head. Let me at him. And then I got to thinking, what if you hired some paranormal investigators? And that is who showed up. You know, somebody who's trying to fight the ghost. Then two guys that are just raiding your fucking fridge the entire time. Two people that skitter off from everybody else and go who knows where for the whole investigation.
And then the one smart one.
Yeah, who's got her head buried in a book so long that...
All right.
I just read that one. I thought you guys would like it.
I liked that one. That was a good one. Thank you, Chad. All right, our next one is called The Whispers.
Go to fuck to sleep. EO Pan.
This is a story I do not often tell. I promise sincerely that this has scared me for life. And although I have looked into psychological explanations for what I heard and natural explanations for what occurred, they remain unsatisfactory. When I was a child, I was scared of the dark. I swore to my mother I heard voices in it. They were not evil, but they were not familiar, and so they scared me. It was not uncommon in the middle of the night for me to wake up and hear whispers. As
fucking pizza.
As I would call them when asking my mom. She figured they were just bumps in the night and typical kid's nightmare material. I tried to explain to her that they were more than that. That they sounded different from one another, the way people's voices do. On some nights, I would get so scared from these whispers that I would sleep in my mom's bed with her.
Go the fuck to sleep.
It was an added bonus that the bathroom was directly outside of her bedroom doors for my late night tinkles.
Tinkles. Don't piss in my bed.
I should add at this point that when walking out in the hall to go to the bathroom, you look directly down the stairs that would lead into the living room on the first floor, as my mom's bedroom was on the second floor. On one such night, around Christmas, I awoke and felt the need to relieve myself. I walked out from the door and distinctly heard the phrase, "Look." To my astonishment, a red light, almost like a spotlight, was cast upon the wall at the very bottom of the stairs. The light had no other source. It was by itself, and I was transfixed by it. Being a little kid and it only being a few days from Christmas, I knew what that light was. It was Santa. How else could he get into my house to know that I was being a good boy? I was so excited, I began walking down the stairs to greet him. Picking up my pace after the second step, as it began to creep off the wall and fade into the darkness of the living room, that's when I heard him. A strong, masculine voice, different from the first. Not at all like my father's. Not to say that his isn't masculine, it's just distinctly different. It said, "Stop right now. Go back up those stairs.
Go the fuck to sleep."
I listened, turned around, and what happened next, I'm not sure I would believe if someone told me the same story. After reaching the top of the stairs, I heard a very loud crash that sent me running back into my mother's bed, where I jumped straight under the covers and stayed there the whole night. When we woke up the next morning, the poinsettia lights, little Christmas flower lights that glowed red, my mother had put on the railing downstairs, were pulled straight down to the bottom of the stairs. Some broken from what seemed like a forceful tear, lying in a single pile. The dry sink in my living room had fallen from the wall. My mother could not explain it. My father was worried that we had been victims of a home invasion. My sister was crying. There was nothing missing. Nobody had broken in. There did not seem to be any reason that this had happened. And then I saw it, and I kept quiet about it because I was so afraid that I could not force the words out of my mouth. There, on the edge of the wooden dry sink, which had been facing up, there were three indentions where the finish in the wood had been worn, almost as if in a forceful grip. Something down there had grabbed it and thrown it down. That was the bang I heard. I was mortified. After that day, I never heard a single voice again. I do not like to imagine what was waiting downstairs for me that night, and if anything at all, but I can tell you that reality was that something had physically acted upon two things in my house near the bottom of the stairwell. After this, I had never heard another whisper again, which is sad, because in some ways I would have liked to thank the man, the masculine energy, that had stopped me from going down those stairs. This happened when I was 7. I'm now 20 years old, and because of this incident, I'm still afraid of the dark, especially shadowy stairwells.
Santa's fucking pissed you didn't leave milks and cookies out. Fucking bitches. Fuck!
When you were like, my eyes were immediately drawn to the red dot, I was like, what is he, a fucking cat? And then you're like, and then you reiterate in the next sentence that it was a child. I was like, okay, maybe not.
Dave, what do you have for us?
A long, hard story to read.
This is supposedly a true story I came across that was posted 8 years ago. Someone on Reddit created a thread asking, quote, have you ever felt a deep personal connection to a person you met in a dream, only to wake up feeling terrible because you realize they never existed? Unquote. A user responded, throwaway account, because this is really personal. My last semester at a certain college, I was assaulted by a football player for walking where he was trying to drive. Note, he was 325 pounds. I was 120 pounds. While unconscious on the ground, I lived a different life. I met a wonderful young lady. She made my heart skip and my face red. I pursued her for months and dispatched a few jerk boyfriends before I finally won her over. After 2 years, we got married, and almost immediately, she bore me a daughter. I had a great job, and my wife didn't have to work outside of the house. When my daughter was 2, she, my wife, bore me a son. My son was the joy of my life. I would walk into his room every morning before I left for work and doted on him and my daughter. One day, while sitting on the couch, I noticed that the perspective of the lamp was odd, like inverted. It was still in 3D, but just wrong. It was a square lamp base, red with gold trim on 4 legs and a white square shade. I was transfixed. I couldn't look away from it. I stayed up all night staring at it. The next morning, I didn't go to work. Something was just not right about that lamp. I stopped eating. I left the couch only to use the bathroom at first. Soon I stopped that too, and I wasn't eating or drinking. I stared at the lamp for 3 days before my wife got really worried. She had someone come and try to talk to me, but this time my cognizance was breaking up and my wife was freaking out. She took the kids to her mother's house just before I had my epiphany. The lamp is not real. The house is not real. My wife, my kids, none of that is real. The last 10 years of my life are not fucking real. The lamp started to grow wider and deeper. It was still inverted dimensions. It took up my entire perspective, and all I could see was red. I heard voices, screams, all kinds of weird noises, and I became aware of pain. A fucking shit ton of pain. The first words I said were, I'm missing teeth, and opened my eyes. I was laying on my back on the sidewalk, surrounded by people that I didn't know. Lots were freaking out. I was completely confused. At some point, a cop scooped me up, dragged me across the sidewalk and grass, and threw me face down in the back of a cop car. I was still confused. I was taken to the hospital by the cop. Seems he didn't want to wait for the ambulance to arrive and give CT scans and shit. I went through about 3 years of horrid depression. I was grieving the loss of my wife and children and dealing with the knowledge that they never existed. I was scared that I was going insane as I would cry myself to sleep hoping I would see her in my dreams. I never have, but sometimes I see my son, usually just a glimpse out of my peripheral vision. He is perpetually 5 years old, and I can never hear what he says.
Fucking wow. Damn,
that's
dude.
Fucked up. That's fucking good, though.
Man.
Yeah, definitely clap.
I thought my story was good, but geez.
After you had said that, you know, he got hit by a car, didn't he?
No, he got beat up.
Beat up by a football player.
He just got beat up.
Mm-hmm. Did you not listen to the beginning of the story?
Well, I mean, losing.
Nah, he found out later in the car.
I mean, he explained that in the beginning of the story.
No, I heard that part, but I thought there was a car involved.
Right, man, can you imagine if, like, just one day you woke up and your entire life was just all in your head?
I'd have a fucked up brain.
Yeah.
You know, according to the Vedas, we hallucinate our own reality. It's an old school of thought.
Man, I'm doing a bad job at hallucinating my reality.
Mm-hmm.
I need to hallucinate a lotto win or something. All right, Dave, you got one more for us, so why don't you just hit us with it?
Okay. This is The Hidden Game by Balls to You 95. That's spelled with a Z, a 2, and a U. The feeling of a lingering presence during solitary moments. Everybody gets that feeling. I'm sure you have too. What you probably haven't done is try to explain its occurrence. See, here's the thing. I had this feeling a few nights ago when I was in my room trying to go to sleep. I laid down, curled, facing the wall which my bed is positioned next to. I slowly, but surely, felt something stand behind me. As everybody does at some point in their lives, it felt like it was lording over me and staring at me to no end. The funny thing about the human psychology is that it absolutely hates unknown things, which is why we try to come up with an explanation for seemingly enigmatic events. So being the creative wizard that it is, my brain tried to associate this figure with a face. Unfortunately, I was somewhat terrified, so my brain, as any brain would, decided to combine the figure and the sense of fear together to give the figure of a face that would warrant such fear. The brain can't create faces, so it copies and pastes any face you've seen from anywhere. But given this context, it's usually the most nightmare-inducing face you've ever seen. Also given the context, this horrifying figure would be standing right behind you. Usually at this point, rational thought would take over. You try to reason with yourself as to why your worst nightmare isn't standing right behind you. It'd usually work, and at times where it didn't, you'd usually muster whatever courage you have and turn around to look behind you. Well, at least it's what I did, and as expected by both you and I, nothing was there. This is usually followed up by reinforcing yourself with proofs as to why there couldn't be anything behind you. I've never heard the door open, and I never heard footsteps are usually the most common ones in this scenario. You laugh at yourself for being stupid and go to sleep. This is the common thought pattern associated with the eerie feeling of being watched. There's probably a branch in psychology dedicated to this feeling, seeing as it's ridiculously widespread. One thing that I can be certain about is this feeling would always end up due to what is known as lex parasomnia. This is better known as Occam's razor. It states that the simplest explanations are usually the best, And in situations such as my own, we can usually create explanations that are wonderfully wrapped in a package of rationality and reason. And that's exactly what'll get you killed. Have you ever thought about why you get these feelings? Not many people do. The downside of Occam's razor is that it blinds people from seeing another side to an event. To an average human being, for something to truly exist, it would usually need to conform to the laws of nature. If someone right next to us decided to fly around, we would almost definitely doubt our own sanity before we believe that this person is actually flying. But what if the watcher conforms to no laws? What if the reason I didn't hear the figure was because it could fly, or at least hover at will? What if the reason I didn't hear the door open was because the figure can move through objects at will? What if the reason why I didn't see the figure was because it can turn, render itself imperceptible at will? At this point, you'd be asking yourself where the evidence for this figure's existence is. But why would such a being, one that can defy every law of nature at will, leave evidence? I mean, if it is trying to frighten me in some way, I see no reason for it to leave traces of itself so that we can conclude that it exists. Perhaps it was only there that night to acquire the description of the face that I fear most. And that what we normally recognize as the feeling of being watched is simply a tool used by this figure to extract a facial design that we are terrified of. And what would it do with this? Make it a reality. By now, you should have realized that there is absolutely no reason to deny this being's existence. The only reason we would deny is due to the figure posing as a complex explanation to the feeling that someone is watching rather than a simple one. I don't know who you are or where you are, but I hope you understand that the next time you suddenly get the thought that someone or something is watching you, just remember that you're playing the hidden game and there's nothing you can ever do about it.
Good story.
Oh, that was good.
Well, that's going to do it for our Boo Y'all episode.
Boo Y'all.
Boo Y'all.
We want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for listening to the Aleister Crowley five-parter. And
we know it was hard to get through.
Yeah, it was hard on other end.
Very informative, but very hard to get through.
Be sure to go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/UMPNormalcy, and check out our new podcast, Unearthing Evidence. Right now, we are deep into the
Smiley Face Killers.
Jinx. So yeah, check that out. It's awesome. Chad and I are having fun researching the killers, and be sure to like us, follow us, and all that fun stuff on social media at UMP Normalcy. Then our website is umpnormalcy.com, where you can buy some awesome merchandise. If you want a pillow, a coffee mug, a case for your laptop or your cell phone, or you need a tote bag. You never can have enough tote bags. I know I have a ton.
Stickers, notebooks,
all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can think of it. There's some out there.
I can never have enough notebooks.
Yeah, we have tons of notebooks around this house. And on Facebook, make sure you go to our Facebook group, not just our page, and like our group and follow us in our group and chat with us and hang out with us. And there's a new video on there of Eli singing some karaoke. It's quite awesome.
It's quite terrible.
You did amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
He couldn't talk the rest of us into getting up there, so it's all Eli.
As Chad said it, I apparently carry the gene of...
I said, of the family, we all have zero confidence. We all roll 00 in creating our characters.
Apparently, it's the only 20 I can roll in life.
Yeah, we all have stage fright. But we're getting over our microphone fright.
Yeah, I told him last night, I was like, you know what? The reason we do a podcast is because nobody's looking at us. We love our listeners. You guys are awesome. And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Keep digging.